are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. And each week, the three of us provide you a technical analysis through metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and news that's obviously helping to move and predict the markets. And today we're going to get into the week's activity as well as year-to-date numbers. You know, this is Golden Rule Radio, and we will focus on gold in every show. But today we're going to bring a little platinum discussion to the table, as well as getting into certainly the underlying fundamentals that are moving the market, such as geopolitics, for example. So without further ado, Miles, how about a weekly recap starting with gold?
You got to throw out the table of contents, Tori. You just can't surprise people, excitedly surprise them in a few minutes when we dive into platinum. You're the guy that told the kid what was in the birthday present, weren't you?
Yeah, we don't want him to switch the channel.
Right. Oh, okay, that's fair. Yeah, because with the way platinum's been moving, I'm sure there's a lot of people that might have questions, although there might be a couple geopolitical reasons why maybe we haven't been paying as close attention to the market over the last few days. So yeah, I think we got a lot to cover this week. So let's take a quick look at the metals and a couple other market charts and what we've seen here over the last 7 days. So we're looking at gold, currently sitting at $3,360. We were up as much as 2% on the week, so we did have a little bit of movement in the gold price, but here over the last day, it's inched back down to kind of right where we started. Started about $3,360 last Thursday, and here we are Wednesday afternoon at $3,360 again. Silver, on the other hand, up as much as 3%, inch back down to 1% on the week now, but it's sitting at $36.70. And boy, we really like that 37 number on the silver chart, so we'll take a look at that a little bit deeper here in a moment. So far, that's been pretty tame. But if we switch over to the big metals topic this week, platinum currently up to $1,320. That is a 6% move over the past week. And we've seen a couple weeks here with some pretty strong movement in platinum. So it's nice to see it's continuing that trend as it's separating itself off from its sister metal, palladium. Currently down at around $1,045, and palladium actually inched down over the last week, about 2% decline on the palladium price. So the platinum to palladium ratio is continuing to separate itself. Quick look at the equities market with the S&P, still just right at that 6,000 mark, 5,980. It's down 1% on the week. It just can't quite get to the old highs, but it is still trying to go that way. I'm certainly very confident in the U.S. stock market, as you guys know, going forward. No, I think there's a good chance we still see the S&P inch up towards that all-time high, but currently just sitting a little bit below it. And finally, the dollar's actually up a little bit this week, sitting just under 99 on the dollar index, 98.8. It's up half a point. And doing meh, okay. I mean, it's the dollar's still below that breakout floor point we talked about a couple weeks ago, but it's definitely hanging in there. Although with everything going on in the world, that world reserve currency, you know, that place that everybody in the world tends to put money when things aren't looking great, that's, what do we call it? It's
right on the tip of my tongue. Could it be gold?
Yeah, a second there, I was thinking the world reserve currency, but it seems like it might be the shiny yellow metal that's winning this fight this year.
Well, all the kids are talking about it, you know, Gundlach and Paul Tudor Jones. When you listen to the big bond guys, they're pointing to the bond market floundering. And they're saying, hey, you need to be considering gold. And I'm hearing it so much more on financial news pointing to gold and silver beyond just the dollar and the market. That's unusual.
Really unusual. I mean, especially you can say that's probably the first time in your decades of being with this company that you've ever heard the bond kings speaking that way, right?
Yeah.
So it is the new Bond. We're not talking about a new 007 movie coming out. We're talking about the new flight to quality asset. Some people would say reduced risk or what have you, but both of them too are very bearish on the debt. Just like we talked about Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan talking about there's going to be a break in the bond market and everybody's going to panic. Well, now you've got Jeffrey Gundlach and Paul Tudor Jones joining in, and Paul Tudor Jones said, look, we're in a debt trap. And I think that's a huge reason that you've seen central bank demand for gold ramp up. And it's obviously a huge reason why you're seeing the de-dollarization globally as an alternative. And it's not just U.S. debt, but dollar-denominated assets.
So how did he point the way forward? What's his solution to the debt trap?
You've got to have negative real rates.
What does that mean?
Well, to have negative real rates means that you are returning less than what you're gaining, obviously. So inflation has to be higher than what you can get on your return. So that's inflating your way out of the problem. And that's strong for gold. We ended last week saying that, look, as the debt increases, it gets more and more expensive to pay off anyway. Then if you have higher interest rates, which the Fed did not cut today.
No, they did not.
Record on a Wednesday. So they've come out and said, we're still looking at two rate cuts later in the year. but they didn't cut today.
No.
And they need more data. They're always behind the curve. And so anyway, to have negative real rates means you're going to see rate cuts. It means you're going to see higher inflation. They're going to print money. They're going to inflate their way out of this issue. But they have to stimulate. This administration, just like President Trump was in his first term, very, very stimulative, which is why gold went up over 65% in his first term. Nothing new under the sun here. But the world moves to gold as a monetary metal. The white metals are industrial metals more than they are monetary metals. Platinum has no monetary metal component. So you see gold and silver down today with a dollar climb, but you don't see platinum down.
No.
Because it's its own market. And it's not going to be platinum that central banks are turning to.
No.
They need as many ounces as possible. And here's actually a good image on why that is, because the global value of gold is dwarfing the global value of silver and certainly the global value of platinum. So the global gold value stands at $23.1 trillion, whereas silver, it's only $340.5 billion. So the above ground, the above ground supply, which is why you see these massive spikes in the white metals. Well, platinum is 3.8 billion. So compare 3.8 billion for a market in a commodity to 23 trillion. And now you see why, with the money supply being what it is, why the banks lean on gold and why it's actually able to compete with the bond market.
But you also see opportunities in the white metals that people are starting to take advantage of.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great part of why we diversify.
Yep.
This is something that gets right into our ratio trading. It gets even into premium swapping, because supply and demand in that market, on such a smaller market, you can see premium spike in silver far greater than you do in gold.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a running theme of ours over the last couple of weeks. And I think when you bring in guys like Gundlach and Jamie Dimon, and you start to realize that the big boys see the writing on the wall with what's going on in the bond market, which is the most important market in the world. And the reaction to that on a Eastern or corporate or central bank or even now a Western corporate and Western central bank transition out of U.S. dollar denominated assets. And we've seen, Rob, how terrible has the bond sales been over the last 6 months. So
not great.
We're seeing this transition over to things like precious metals. And lo and behold, we're looking at gold going from, what, low 2000s to the mid 3000s in about a year. What you guys are now starting to see is we're starting to see, as the retail investor gets involved into the market, the retail investor is going to reply to the rise in the price of gold by looking for cheaper alternatives. So we've talked about this for years. Gold always moves first because gold is bought by big investors on the hundreds of millions or billions scale. That's why you're looking at a global market in the trillions. And then the rest of us following around on the coattails are going to move into the less expensive alternatives like silver. There's a reason it's been called the poor man's gold forever.
Forever. But, you know, one thing, too, I want to interject. The bond market is 3 to 4 times the size of the stock market.
Yep.
And people are focused on the stock market because that's what's put in front of them every night on the news. But at the same time, when you talk to a financial advisor and you say, well, how do I protect myself from, say, a fallout in the stock market? If equities were to drop, what do I do? What's been their solution, Tori?
Well, buy bonds.
Buy bonds. Right. That's the hedge.
That's been the flight to safety or flight to quality.
Right. And they'll tell you, well, you're 70% equities and 30% in bonds or 50-50. That's more conservative. But not according to Jamie Dimon. Not according to Paul Tudor Jones.
Well, certainly not going forward. I mean, their warning signs are for going forward. But you can look back. And a position of gold in your portfolio far outperforms a bond position for the last 25 years. The problem is a lot of financial advisors or money managers aren't going to get paid to manage your physical gold position. It kind of is out there where nobody can see it. And so there tends to be a bias. Or sometimes there's an ignorance. And I don't mean that from a slanderous standpoint. I just mean, look, gold averages 8.5% return a year over the last 40 years, 50 years, find that in a bond return, and it provides that downside protection. So the drawdown on your portfolio when the stocks actually do end up seeing those major pullbacks, gold is a much better hedge than the bonds have been. And now we're talking about going forward, these guys are all in on the gold,
yeah,
and they're bond market experts.
Let's say there is a dramatic drop in the stock market. Let's say the Dow loses 10,000 points in a matter of a couple of weeks. You'll see gold fall in sympathy as people are trying to cover their debt positions, their leverage. But every time we have seen something dramatic happen in the stock market, go back to the 2008-2009 drop in the market, gold fell from its high within 6 weeks. The physical price of a Krugerrand was back above where gold had started before the drop in the stock market. Saw the same thing in the COVID crash. But it didn't take 6 weeks that time. It took barely 6 days.
Yeah.
And I think now with gold moving into the mind of the global investor, the big players, central banks, etc., I think you could see gold fall in sympathy very briefly, but those days are gone.
Well, Miles, let's come back to silver because you mentioned something about it being the poor man's gold. It is indicative to me of a Western buying phenomenon. So the gold has been this Eastern buying, central bank buying, large institutional money. So now we're seeing silver's resurgence. And in fact, the futures market, you're seeing a lot of longs from the Commitment of Traders report. The shorts are starting to get swallowed up and you've got more and more longs going here. And the reason I'm coming back to that, Miles, is you mentioned the $37 figure in your weekly recap.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
And I'm not the only one. I've heard a number of people in the charting world over the last couple of years talking about the importance of $35 in silver. And it's not surprising to me how quickly when we finally broke it that we just pushed right through it. I mean, we tapped it in September, October of last year with a decline. Tapped it again in March, and then when we finally blew through it, it came through with a vengeance. The reason that number matters is, believe it or not, you can actually go back 10 or 15 years on the chart, and you can see what kind of activity or action took place around certain price levels and why. What are the types of things that are going to cause people to make a buy or sell transaction given a certain price and extrapolate that out into the future? So you're looking at a lot of trading volatility at the previous end of the last bull market, where we saw a significant swing between about 25 and 40 back and forth. and a couple of tops right there around 35, and then the final breakdown below 35. So it wasn't surprising at all that we saw a significant move above 35, and now we're really getting into last bull market top territory. Anybody who's been listening to our show for the last couple of years, this is the same conversation we had back when gold was bumping around 1900. It's the exact same conversation. You're going to see some resistance in that range, in that like 16 to 1900 range in gold. For silver, it's $35 to $40 or $45 range. But ultimately, there's nothing that's really going to turn silver down. It's more just an issue of, is this something that ends up happening over the next 3 to 6 months or over the next 2 or 3 years? And that's the part that you kind of don't know. As a chart guy, I'd much rather go for 2 to 3 years, because the longer it takes to happen, the higher the end number will end up being down the road. But ultimately, the speed at which gold is taking off and some of the other things we're seeing here in the markets, I wouldn't be surprised to see silver have a pretty rapid catch up, at least here, where we see the gold to silver ratio, which got as high as 100 to 1 here recently.
104. Yeah.
Not snap all the way down to like 35. You know, I'm not talking about the big swing, but easily see that ratio come back down into maybe the 60s, even the 50s, and just catch back up, not with ultimately where it's going to end, but just with what gold has done so far. Because we know that the bull market in metals will continue until some sort of fiscal responsibility takes place, or gold extends to such an overpriced level like it did in 2011, that it's going to have to come back down, because gold is actually overpriced, which we're nowhere near at this point.
No.
So ultimately, in the midst of that, let's remember that markets do what markets do. Silver short term is overbought now at this point. We've got some pretty significant divergence in RSI. It's well above its moving averages. There's some fibs starting to present themselves. Could silver go from 37 down to 30 and then keep climbing from there? Absolutely. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I just am always trying to encourage our listeners, our clients, anybody who does any trading, market swing, have some patience and know what the long game is on something like this.
I like that focus on the ratio too, because getting in at 100 to 1, we're telling our clients, we're advising a heavier silver position than usual.
Yep.
It's something that's a no-brainer. And then if you do see it come down into 60 or 70, well, we're exiting a lot of that silver and swapping into gold. And it's like having purchased gold at a 20% discount.
And
so anybody that's been nervous about acquiring gold at too high of a price, it's still undervalued right now if you look at silver. Don't be afraid of bumping our head up on these resistance points to the upside, like 38. I'll attest to the fact it's not been months, it's been years that you have said, we're going to have a hard time breaking through 35. When we do, we're going to run unchecked to around 38. And then we'll pause, and then it's going to be 40 as the new target. If we break above that, things get real exciting for that $50 figure. But on the downside here, you mentioned coming down maybe even to 30. Don't you think that 35 being that old, really tough ceiling to break through becomes
a great question. That's now the new floor. I think that's a great question.
Maybe. You don't really know until it gets there. The floor will create itself. I just pulled 30 out because 30 is a round number. That wasn't something off a chart. I was just explaining a concept. So it certainly could. I don't like to predict where something may place its foot down on the next step. As long as the next step is higher than the last step, that's all I really care about. So if the last step was $29, as long as it's above 29, I'm happy with that. Let's keep going with the white metals, guys, because we keep saying we're going to talk about it. My Lord, since we've been talking, platinum is now back up over 1,300 again. So that's nice, 1,310. Platinum is on a tear, and platinum is actually flirting with the previous high going back to February. So believe it or not, despite all the growth we've had in platinum here, platinum is still arguably and technically in a big trading range. we're right at the breakout point for platinum. This is going to be the floor from the previous high. So if you figured the previous high was in the $2,200-$2,300 range, we had an immediate crash and a bounce. And then platinum traded between about $1,300 and most of the time was spent between like $1,300 and maybe $1,600-ish before it finally broke down. So we're right at the bottom of the old trading range. And honestly, a push inside of, let's say, $1,350, I think it's very likely you could see platinum either trade up to or quickly run as high as like $1,900 on this move, just based on where some of the previous trading and the ranges took place. So the run in platinum, while it feels big thus far, it ain't nothing yet.
Yeah, it's just playing catch up.
Well, and it did have a lot of catch up. There's been a lot of patience on the part of the platinum owner, right?
I had a call Monday. Sam bought platinum from me 12 years ago, and he calls me. He's like, all right, sold all my platinum. I'm like, Sam, we just got here.
Yeah, we just started, man.
He's like, yeah, but I've got a limited horizon, Rob. I'm 80 years old. I'm like, well, give me another week, okay, Sam? Just give me one more week. Let's see what platinum can do.
Well, I mean, you could have bought platinum for $850 in 2008.
Yeah.
And then again in 2016.
Oh, he did. He's in the 800s. Yeah.
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 And then he again,
again
in March.
2023.
Yeah. Well, and again in March of 2025. Is the
He just like, finally, years. After all this time, I can turn a profit.
I get it. I get it, right? And this is when it's hard to hold it because you get exhausted, you get worn out from it. But we tend to cap our platinum positions, like in IRAs and otherwise, 5%, 10%, 15%.
Maybe
10. Ceiling.
Yes, it's
a speculative, small little venture, if you will. But this is why we diversify.
Yeah.
Because here is an example, not just today, but platinum's up 4.5% today.
Today.
With gold and silver down. So you talk about minimizing the drawdown on your portfolio. Your precious metals portfolio needs to be diversified too. Between bullion and semi-numismatic, between gold and silver, between platinum and palladium, or platinum and gold and silver.
You can buy silver dollars. You can buy 80 to 100-year-old silver dollars cheaper than 100-ounce bars right now.
Incredible. Which, have you ever seen that in your
40-plus
years?
No, never.
The older Peace and Morgan dollars. So it's a really fun market dynamic. But after 15 years of stagnation in platinum, I understand that. But you guys remember, it's 30 times rarer than gold. How many times have we seen it not only equal to the price of gold, but two or three times the price of gold?
Exactly.
Look at this long-term image where we're not expecting to go back to a day and age where it was five times the price of gold. But here, platinum has been a third of the price of gold, which means for every ounce of platinum that we bought at that level, if they just get to parity with each other, that means 3 ounces of platinum trade straight across for 3 ounces of gold instead of 3 ounces of platinum equaling one ounce of gold.
Yeah.
That's a major ratio trade.
Major.
And platinum is hard to predict because most of its applications are in the automotive industry. It makes up 37% of the demand, and then 30% is industrial. Jewelry use, yes, but this isn't the market that really sucks it up. We need the industrial demand to ramp up. And especially as things get geopolitically tense in Russia, in South Africa, that's the majority of that market.
80%.
Yeah. If you want a really great article, reach out to us and we can feed you an excellent update on why platinum and why we're recommending that that remain a part of your portfolio right now if this part hasn't made sense. So guys, before we wrap up, let's just do a real quick recap of what's going on fundamentally. We've talked a lot about charts, but certainly we've got international geopolitics at the forefront here with Israel and Iran. Every time we get a ramp up in tensions, gold is going to react, or at least not decline when there's other news that would otherwise have gold come down. But you know, Iran's part of the so-called Krink group with China and Russia and North Korea. And there's obviously starkly different ideologies, and we'll see what's happening. It's even causing a Washington divide. It's causing a global divide. it's just the latest at the forefront, but it's more than that too. We've got continued economic data that's mixed. We'll get good news on CPI and inflation, then turn around and got bad news on expected CPI and inflation moving forward. So the markets really don't know what to do. And when there's uncertainty, gold does well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's continuing to keep wind in the sails of gold as that monetary metal, and unpredictably also what direction the U.S. dollar is going.
Yeah, typically seasonally gold is soft in the summer. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year.
It does not.
That's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to swing on by our website at mcalvaney.com. That's MCALVANY.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to give us a call, we're happy to talk with you about your personal precious metals portfolio. You can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.